Welcome to Safa Security Chet Chat, episode 45 for January 25th, 2011. I'm Chester Wisniewski, and I'm here with Michael Argast, my co-host.
Trying to bat a little bit above 500. So.
Yes, we now more than 50% of the Chet Chats have Michael, and I want to thank Michael for spending so much time. It is a pretty big time investment to put these together, and I very much appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to join us. Got a reasonably light week. There's some rather interesting topics in the security space for kind of coming up on the end of January now. Google and Firefox have both announced sort of new-ish features for their browsers to help you block tracking of advertising networks.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's good news. Firefox has simply announced it. It's unclear whether that will be part of Firefox 4 or come in a later update. Google will be shipping it in Chrome. I think real soon now. I didn't check the specific version numbers. It appears
next time you open a new tab kind of thing?
Well, yeah, that's one of the really nice things as an end user of a browser as opposed to an IT administrator with Chrome is that it auto-updates and you don't even know that it happened, which is quite nice. As an IT admin, I'm not quite sure how I would feel about that for version control purposes to make sure that it's not going to be incompatible with an intranet app. Personally, I've had some bad experiences with Chrome not working for short periods of time with certain websites. And, you know, it happens by surprise, which isn't always a good thing. But I will put the disclaimer that I am running the Bleeding Edge dev build channel of Chrome as well. So the released versions, Michael, you use Chrome. Have you had any issues?
Nope.
So I think it's good to block things. I don't know if this is an attempt at heading off at the pass any legislation related to advertising stuff that the FTC was talking about enforcing. But anything that lets us control our information better is welcome.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe one of these days the default is on, but who knows?
Well, a few weeks ago, Adobe announced that Flash will also provide APIs and the ability to manage your cookies, your Flash cookies. So this would help eliminate the infamous Ever cookie that was a big deal 6 months or so ago when a researcher demonstrated how cookies could kind of self-regenerate. So that's quite good news as well. It kind of dovetails nicely with this story.
Yeah, it's Flash cookies are interesting. I mean, I think 6 months ago, before this research came out, I didn't even know there was such a thing as Flash cookies. And, you know, sure enough, they're like one of these kind of tracking you everywhere sort of things. So it's nice to see some controls being put in place.
Well, a large quantity of ad networks are using Flash these days. I mean, you go to a lot of websites and not everybody's doing the simplistic Google AdWord approach of text boxes and things. Many of them have interactive advertisements or informative advertisements that are based in Flash. So it sort of makes sense that they would need cookies. The latest news on that to my knowledge is that Adobe is shipping that in the current version of Flash that's bundled inside of Google Chrome. And the independent Flash player that you install as a plugin for Firefox IE and on other platforms should include it in the next release as a feature. I think the browser has to be aware to take advantage of it. I think it's pretty much an API from what I gather. And then the browser will be able to provide you with a clear cookies button or a cookie management option within the browser, the same as you get currently for regular HTML cookies, you know, where you can go in and wipe them out or view what's there. So it may take a little bit of time for your browser to take advantage of them, but it's just another reason to update. You know, I mean, staying on the current version of whatever browser you're using, and if you think Opera is just, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, then good for you, and keep up to date on your Opera, and hopefully it'll offer it no different than Firefox and Chrome and everyone else.
Another alternative, I guess, would be, you know, what I've been doing. Being a Mac user, Flash is horrendously poor performance, and just been using Click2Flash for quite some time, which is a good way of avoiding those cookies being dropped on as well.
Yeah, Click2Flash is an interesting thing. I have that installed in my browser as well, and I find certain Flash things just don't work when you click them. So sometimes you have to end up enabling it for the whole site. But it, like NoScript, to me, it's a pain worth tolerating, and you know, it does provide an enhanced level of privacy and protection. So Apple had some really good news from those of us that are security hawks in the Mac space. They hired David Rice, the author of Geekonomics and former NSA analyst, to head up to basically be their new CISO. I think that's brilliant. I mean, the idea, you know, David, much of what David preaches publicly is the idea of security not being an afterthought, but being designed into the very fabric of something from the beginning. And to, if he has influence over Apple's development of both their mobile platforms and OS X and this type of thing, if he, you know, if he's enabled to make change, and you'd think as CISO, you'd hope that he would have the power to make change, that could be a really, really good thing to back up Apple's marketing around security.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I personally loved his book. I thought, you know, there were some interesting tenuous things around the legality of holding all these software vendors accountable and stuff like that. But even still, having some of his ideas take prevalence at Apple would be a good thing for Apple in terms of security. So.
Yeah, and it's not that, you know, they've got a horrible security track record, but they do have a tendency to be more reactive than proactive, at least publicly in the way that we see things. And the last two major Apple security updates that have shipped for OS X, if you look, pretty much every bug that was patched was disclosed by a third-party vendor. None of them were discovered by Apple. Whether they're just not disclosing the ones they're finding and fixing and only talking about the third-party ones so that people don't, you know, go in and out them, I don't know. But hopefully, you know, someone like Dave involved in the process will be a positive thing. And on other notes related to that, our own Ben Jupp here in Vancouver, formerly of our UK offices, posted a really nice blog post today on Naked Security talking about some basic security tips and things that you may not think about as a Mac user that can really enhance your security, you know, posture on your personal Macs, especially mm-hmm. around things like, you know, securing your BIOS and making sure that it doesn't auto log in. And, you know, some of these things are really minor nuisances that provide a lot of enhanced security. Ben's article is only it's just part one, and we're going to do two more parts covering the user and the system in addition to physical security. So I welcome all of you to please come out to nakedsecurity.sophos.com, check it out, and you know, perhaps if we get a lot of good feedback, we may turn that into a paper in the future as well that can be downloadable and distributed to your users if you have a lot of Mac users in your organization or people that use Macs at home that you want to give some good advice to. A hacker, discovered again by Mr. Brian Krebs at KrebsOnSecurity.com, posted a form, kind of an advertisement, if you will, offering access to government and educational websites around the world, including U.S. military sites, for anywhere between $50 and $500. You could buy full access to many of these systems. And in addition to that, he was also selling usernames and passwords that he's purloined from different sites for $20 U.S. per thousand. So, you know, I was struck by this. I mean, it looks, you know, in the research that Brian did, it looks to be that he used SQL injection and other SQL flaws to compromise these sites. They all seem to have some sort of weakness in their SQL implementations. But it seemed awful cheap to me. I'm wondering if he needs a sales and marketing guy.
Well, I guess one of the things is it does seem to be a new form of monetizing attacks, right? So typically, we haven't seen a whole lot of username password sales out there. We've seen things like, you know, the traditional kind of computer and botnet sales, and increasingly we've seen things like targeted sales. So if you want to buy a compromised host in a given organization, you can do that. But usernames and passwords outside of, you know, credit card numbers and stuff like that, I haven't traditionally seen a lot of sales activity around it. So
I think in the underground, there's certainly been an upswing in this type of activity for a few years now, but certainly not publicly. I mean, this guy's website, from what we could see, was like totally in the open. It wasn't something where you had to know the secret Masonic handshake to get invited into the forum to know that stuff is there. And that's one of the brilliant things that Brian does in his journalism. Yeah, I mean, he taught himself Russian to do the research, and like he's pretty passionate about what he does. So I'm not encouraging people that break into government websites to charge more than $500. But I thought it was kind of odd that it was treated as if it's been commoditized.
Yeah.
Nicolas Sarkozy.
Yes, the French prime minister.
Yes. Any guesses as to what you think his password might have been on his Facebook account? Because clearly it wasn't secure. I mean, I was asked by a journalist whether he was hacked, and I'm like, well, I don't know if it's really been – I don't think he's really been hacked, or it's not really a Facebook security flaw, right? Like, it looks like his password was simply guessed, no different than Lil Wayne's problem on his Twitter account, you know, a week or two ago. And
so for 48 hours or whatever it was, he decided he wasn't running for re-election, but then when he figured out he'd been compromised or – that his credentials have been stolen, changed it, and I guess he's back into politics.
He's recovered his account, yeah. It reminded me of some spam sent by the Walled Worm 2 years ago, almost to the date, when President Obama was President-elect Obama, and was like a week before he was going to swear the oath of office and become president. And there was a spam campaign that went around with a fake blog that looked just like Obama's blog that said that he refused to take the oath of office and decided he didn't want to be president. So clearly somebody has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But it's just another wake-up call. Set your passwords. One, make sure your Facebook password is different than your other passwords in case this happens to you.
Or stop using Facebook, but that's just me.
I'll ignore that. Other than that, I guess really that's it's been a pretty quiet week. I mean, there's been tons of Facebook attacks since you decided to bring up Facebook. As usual, there have been more than a few, and we've blogged a few select ones that have a unique angle to them that a lot of people seem to be compromised by. Be aware on Facebook, folks. I mean, there are a lot of, with 500 million people's personal lives at risk. There's a lot of people that are interested in attacking that site and compromising your accounts on that site to try to gather information. And it is a very, very big, shiny object for the attackers. And they're not going to likely slow down any. So don't let your guard down if you're using those services. Be careful.
And it's secure.
I'm proud to announce that at this year's Security Blogger Awards at the RSA conference, that Sophos was nominated in two categories. So Naked Security will be up for two awards. And if you're going to be at RSA conference, or if you're a security blogger, please vote for us. And we look forward to seeing you at the Blogger Awards. Myself and Paul Ducklin from Sophos Australia will be at the Bloggers Awards and enjoying some free root beers. And celebrating with everyone else another successful year at educating the community. So thanks for everybody who supported us. And until next time, this has been Sophos Security Chat Chat, episode 45. As usual, you can get all of our podcasts at podcasts.sophos.com, as well as on iTunes. Until next time, stay secure.